Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. I'm an employment law and business law attorney and founder of the law office of Eric M. Sauber. And I host this show weekly here on Talk Radio NYC, where we have guests who discuss issues impacting business owners today, particularly around employment and business law matters, and other issues that are even more heightened during this time of COVID and the pandemic. And so in that spirit, my guest tonight is Mark Iorio, who is the managing partner of BCAT Partners LLC. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. It's great to have you on. Great to have you on Employment Law Today. So I want to introduce you, Mark, to our audience tonight, and then we'll talk about our topic, which I think is one that's very relevant to people in business during these times. As I mentioned, my guest tonight is Mr. Mark Iorio. He is the managing partner of BCAT Partners LLC, and Mark is an executive with a demonstrated track record of generating new business for a wide range of industries, including software, educational institutions, financial services, healthcare, pharmaceutical, and marketing firms. He is the managing partner at BCAT Partners, which focuses on the alignment of an organization's people and their purpose. The Brand and Culture Alignment Toolkit, with a nice acronym BCAT, was designed to bring teams into alignment around their collective purpose and to inspire each member to become the best version of themselves and to support the people and communities in which they serve. And one of the goals here is to make sure that instruments measure and map the collective perception of an organization's North Star with their role target, and implement practical methods that help each member embrace and align within it. Mark is the chairman of the board of RVN Television and the host of Rainmakers Roundup and Team Talk. He's the executive director of TDI Connect, a nonprofit which helps bridge the digital divide, and he's the president of the Mega Group, a marketing communications firm. So Mark, I know you see wear many hats, can certainly relate, and again, glad that you can make it for what's bound to be an interesting conversation.
Thanks, Eric. That was a very nice introduction. I appreciate it very much.
Sure thing. Well, then I'll give you a chance to fill in any details I may have left out when we get into our topic. But the topic of tonight, our title of the show is COVID's Company Culture Shock. And really, we're talking about, Mark and I were discussing how the COVID-19 pandemic, we all know it's wreaked a lot of havoc on many companies, on their internal culture and their brand. In the last year of this virtual and often isolated workforce, combined with the ongoing stress of pandemic life, has really shown a light on the fault lines between a company's stated values and their mission and the ways in which they treat their employees. This is a topic, employee treatment, that I come up against a lot as an employment law attorney. So the question becomes, how can you improve your company's culture and employee engagement and brand as well? And so in line with that purpose of discussing that topic, I'm pleased to invite and have Mark Iorio on the show, and we can discuss ways that the audience, the listeners, our business owners out there can repair and realign their company's internal messaging, culture, and external brand.
So, perfect. That's a perfect entree.
Oh, well, you know, it's really a great entree to a great topic. And I think that we came up with this good topic in our discussions because it's so relevant to what companies are experiencing, you know, today. You know, I find that many of the topics we discussed in the show, Mark, are issues that existed well before COVID, and they've either been exacerbated by the pandemic, by pandemic life, or they've been simply highlighted or taken to a new level. And so in regard to that, I wanted to ask you if you could just tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and about BCAT Partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd appreciate it. Thanks, Eric. This has been great. I really am looking forward to this conversation. I've run my own firm for 34 years, and most of the time it was a external marketing communications company, traditional marketing. And about 20 years ago, I ran across an organization, one of our clients called us in and started to ask us about their internal brand. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really familiar with an internal brand. I didn't know what an internal brand was all about. And especially with this client, Eric, it was a retail establishment that served many, many organizations. It was financial services, travel assistance, trip tickets, things like that. And they asked us to come in and take a look at that promise, what that brand promise really was and how those employees delivered on the brand promise. And the managing director of marketing had asked us to really get into that whole process and understand what organizations were doing it well and the, you know, what organizations did it the best. And the common ones come to mind: Tiffany, Ritz-Carlton, Southwest Airlines, at the time Motorola. This was 20 years ago. Yeah. So we embarked on this process to understand how, you know, organizations delivered on that brand promise, or the culture, you know, and the brand were sort of aligned. And I fell in love with this process. I fell in love with what we were doing, because we were helping organizations not only become better versions of themselves, but also individuals becoming better versions of themselves. Mm-hmm. And pointed to a specific guidance system or North Star. And, you know, as a baseball, I was a former baseball coach, college baseball coach, and I just love the idea of helping people become better and better every day. Mm-hmm. I played in college, I coached college, and so on. And it was just, it was transitioning my sports background to my business background, not just creating things like brochures, as I did for so many years, but now changing the way people reacted. And then about 8 years ago, I met my business partner, Al Cini, and he was working on something very similar, but more scientifically based, whereas what we were doing was much more qualitative. We were talking to people about what they felt the brand was all about and deciphering what they meant by some of those answers. And then we'd find common threads that they would put together. And Al had this scientific methodology of asking people whether or not they believed in the brand. And there were some questions that they answered. And we refined BCAT over the last 8 years to become what it is today. And it is a very succinct process. We start off, if you'd like me to, I'll just continue on.
Sure. Yeah, please do.
Yeah, I'll just continue on. It basically is a process where we go into organizations and we ask people to imagine their organization as though it were a single person, doing its very best work on its best day, delivering on all of its promises and achieving all of its goals. Mm-hmm. Now, you may sit there and say to yourself, why a person? Why a virtual person? Because we all learn from people in our lives that are role models. That's how we learn. We learn from other people, the things they do well, that we admire, and the things that they do that we don't necessarily admire. And so that cognitive interest that we have with people, we have to personify an organization so that we understand what that business is really all about, the meaning of that business, the purpose of that business, the North Star of that business, the role model of that business. And so we ask a series of questions about what that business means to them. And if you take a PET scan of a person's frontal cortex, front part of their brain, Eric, it actually lights up when certain words are used or certain phrases are used. And that's how we end up getting the results of the survey. And then we go on from there.
It's interesting, Mark, because I'm hearing the scientific sort of, you know, metrics that you use and methodologies. And I know that a lot of people in brand or in culture or in those fields will use certain subjective criteria and focus on sort of like channeling their inner creativity, which I think is great. But I also, what I hear is, and we've talked about your company, this the scientific aspect of it, right? That there's something that sort of almost industrial psychology meets science, you know, biology in terms of how the brain lights up and it demonstrates people's what causes them to be take interest in some, say, a certain value or mission statement. So it's, yeah, it's good to see that. I think a lot of companies out there want to know that there's some sort of method to the madness, that some sort of either scientific or logical way to describe. I know certainly in employment law, there is very much a lot of creativity and subjective sort of aspects of it. But there's also, there's some parts where it's very concrete. What do the statutes say? What does the case law say? What's the precedent? So yeah. Marrying those two can really be a good yin and yang. If you're a partner and you have that yin and yang, it sounds like a good thing to build on. And obviously you have for all these years. So
yeah, it's been, well, we've done about 9,800 BCATs for about 270 companies over the last 8 years. And it's a very powerful process because what you end up with is a collection of the values that people hold near and dear to them that mm-hmm. is cognitively driven. So in the past, I think what you're saying is that a lot of it was qualitative. Now it's both quantitative and qualitative. There's science behind this and there's emotion behind it as well. Mm-hmm. But when we get together and we answer those questions as a group, you know, what is, you've heard the metaphor, are we all rowing in the same direction? Yes. Are we all singing from the same sheet of music? In most companies, they're not. They're just not doing that. And that's really what the culture is all about. The culture is not some other culture. It's not Apple. It's not Google. It's not Facebook. It's not. It's your culture. It's the individual culture for that organization. What does that mean? When you personify that organization into what you're thinking about, there's four quadrants that we use. One is harmony, which is, you know, the fairness quadrant. Are we all treating people fairly? The second one is precision. The third one is resolve. The fourth one is innovation. And every company has a mixture of those attributes. Once we get to the average, we then get into a room like a focus group setting and say, look, we all landed here on average on our map. Where do we really believe we are as an organization or where we need to go? And that's the gap between where you currently are as an organization and where you want to go. And that's where the coaching comes in. That's where we then go back to each and every individual and say, these are the things that we can do every single day that get closer to that North Star. What can you do every single day to change your behavior that's observable, that gets you closer to that role target or that brand or that North Star? And that's how the process works. It's very, very interesting. It's hard work. It takes an effort. If you know you're into sports, it's like changing your tennis stroke or your golf swing or something like that. It takes time and it takes talent to do that, and it takes a coach to be able to do it well.
It definitely sounds like a process, not an event, Mark, from what you're saying. And I hear the quadrants you mentioned, right? Harmony, precision, resolve, and innovation all sound like your relevant parts that are, or relevant elements of a recipe for success for a company, I would think. And I think they need to have all those factors at play. Yep. What I really would love to do is, we need to take a commercial break in just a moment, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you about what factors go into making each of these quadrants. How does a company get to that strong, healthy company culture? But I'll save that as a teaser for folks listening at home when we get back from the break. So folks, you're listening to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, here tonight with my guest, Mark Iorio, Managing Partner at BCAT Partners. So stick around, you'll talk Radio NYC, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, We journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m. So tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, here tonight with Mark Iorio from BCAP Partners. So Mark, before our break, we're talking all about the what you do and what BCAP Partners does with respect to a company's brand and culture and aligning the two. And we definitely want to talk about COVID's company culture shock. But before we do, I wanted to just build a foundation for our discussion in terms of what factors go into making a strong, healthy company culture? Like what factors go into, for example, making a strong a company with good precision, with good resolve, with good innovation?
Yeah, it's a great question, Eric. Thank you for that. You know, a lot of it has to do with finding that purpose and collectively marching toward that purpose together, you know, so that people, you've seen it all. You've seen it in your career, I'm sure. There people that work in silos, people that are passive aggressive in an organization. There's a lack of teamwork, collaboration. And so, you know, and there's a little bit of competitiveness between people rather than working together. When you find that common ground where everyone is marching toward that North Star, or, you know, rowing in the same direction or singing from the same sheet of music, you get that level of cooperation where people really are in it for, you know, a collective win. Mm-hmm. That really is the impetus behind a very, very strong culture. And when you mention those four quadrants, you know, it again, as I said, you know, every organization has imagine it as though it were your company Kool-Aid. And you went to your water cooler, and the harmony is green, and the precision is blue, and the resolve is red, and innovation is yellow. And if you're more of a creative organization, let's say you're a creative agency or a marketing firm or an entertainment company or a television station, you're going to have more yellow in your cooler, your water cooler, than you would say, you know, precision or harmony or resolve. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is what are the things that I can do as an individual to become more creative, more innovative, rather than if someone comes to me with a great idea, a new idea, rather than me shutting them down and saying, you know, we tried that before, mm-hmm. be a little bit more open to some of these new ideas that people come to you with. Mm-hmm. If you're an organization that is more green or harmonious, mm-hmm. maybe what you ought to be doing is treating people more fairly across the board rather than, you know, picking people out individually for, you know, celebration. Everyone's treated equally. Everyone's fair. Typically, an organization that is more harmonious is following guidelines or following rules so that people stay within, you know, in those guidelines. So everyone has a little bit of a different flavor, in a sense, in their organization. That's why I said earlier, you cannot look at another organization and say, I want to be like that culture. It's your own. It's as unique as a snowflake or a fingerprint.
Right. So it's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all approach here when you're talking about a company's unique brand and culture. And so it's interesting what I hear, and I think this is a really good basis to segue after this into the pandemic and how that has sort of highlighted or illuminated the fault lines in companies. But just to, what I'm hearing is fascinating to me is the idea that the companies that you work with, some might have of a stronger or more of a presence, let's say, in one of those four quadrants. And sometimes it sounds to me as if different companies may do better if they have, let's say, more, for example, of the harmony quadrant, or they may have more success if they have more of a precision based on what they're doing. And that's, I think it's important that you guys at BKI Partners make that distinction. I also wonder if you ever run into challenges in terms of, you mentioned getting all the employees to work on the same team, right? Row the same way, sing from the same sheet music. When you have individual employees who have their own unique, let's say, values, opinions on what constitutes success, for example, or happiness, is that something that you have to take into account, Mark, when you're getting them all into the same boat?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, everyone comes to the table, Eric, with their own personality. Yeah. We never say to them, you have to change your personality. Mm-hmm. What we say to them is, okay, let's go back to the sports analogy. Mm-hmm. You're a second baseman. Your skill set is different than mine. I'm a center fielder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the things that you need to work on, you're coming to the table with that skill set. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make you a center fielder. I'm trying to make you a very good second baseman so that you can turn double plays, go in the hole, grab the ball, you know, et cetera. You're a little quicker than I am. You're different. You know, you've got a different skill set. So everyone comes to the table with their own uniqueness. And that's what makes the organization so rich. The key is when I look to the end goal, in the case of a baseball team or a sports team, we're all trying to win. So what are the things I can do every day to get to that goal, right? Mm-hmm. In business, we don't generally think that way. We come into the office, we sort of punch our proverbial clock in a metaphoric way. And you know, we just go to work. And at 3 o'clock, we're saying, oh, gee, I can't wait till 5. Mm-hmm. But here, if you're all rowing in the same direction and saying, listen, I have my goal here. I have my role here to play. These are the things that I need to do to make this team better. What can I do that I can help Eric with, or what can I do to help so-and-so with to make them even better and a better part of the team? It takes an effort. It takes a conscious effort every day as you walk through that front door, or in the case of COVID with, you know, working virtually, when you put on that hat, in a sense, in front of your computer, it's the same culture. It doesn't matter where you are.
Right. It's interesting because what I'm hearing there is about sort of highlighting, almost celebrating, if I could use such a strong term, but celebrating each employee's their strengths, their uniqueness, recognizing their talents, rather than trying to pigeonhole them into a mold, just as if you recognize the collective company's individual brand or individual mission or North Star, if you will. Which I think, you know, and you started to mention COVID. Well, first off, thank you, Mark, for that, for highlighting that. I think it's always important when we have a topic about how this pandemic has impacted something. We need to understand what that thing is and how it usually operates in a healthy fashion. And I'm wondering, so let's talk about COVID-19, this pandemic that we're all in. So wondering, what were some of the biggest challenges, Mark, that the pandemic's created for businesses around culture and brand?
Oh boy, where do we start? You know, it's
And I wish we had an hour and a half or 2 hours to discuss this, right?
Yeah, no kidding. No, you're right. But a lot of it, Eric, is really people and organizations not having a strong culture before the pandemic hit. Yes. And a lot of organizations really are not clear on what culture is. You know, if I said to most people, what is a brand? A lot of organizations really couldn't. They'd say logo, you know, your mark. But brand is everything. Brand is every single thing you do, every interaction you have, every contact you have with a prospect, a client, an employee, a prospective employee, everything you do. Mm-hmm. With COVID, what's happened is that people have lost the idea that they think they had a culture. Mm-hmm. I had someone come to us at the latter part of last year, beginning of this year, and say, look, our culture is a mess. We mm-hmm. used to go out to bars and our people would, you know, sit down and have a beer or two and drink and mm-hmm. and have fun and talk and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's just a piece of your culture. That's not mm-hmm. your whole culture.
Yeah.
If everyone was looking to a purpose for the organization, it wouldn't matter where they were mm-hmm. because we would figure out a way for us. I know it's been tough. I understand virtual conversations are difficult. They're not as good as face-to-face. Yes. You know, psychologically, we need to be close to one another, you know, in order to build that culture. But you could figure out ways as a group to get together and make sure that everyone is following that purpose for your organization. You mm-hmm. have these stand-up meetings every day, 5 minutes, and say, Eric, what are the things you need to do today? And Mark, what are the things you need to do today? And talk about it as though, you know, it's purposeful. It's like the Sarver family. I know you've got a young mm-hmm. son,
yep.
but what as you sit around the table, the dinner table, mm-hmm. you talk about the things the Sarver family does and what you know, what are appropriate for your family and what is not. And as your son grows up and you grow your family, everyone's crystal clear on what you stand for. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you are in the world, mm-hmm. take that with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting, you know, to talk about how people, their perceptions of culture or a mission may have been weak before the pandemic, and then the pandemic sort of just really pours gasoline on those fault lines. I'd love to comment on this, and then I think it's a great segue into another question. But we are on our next commercial break. So I'd rather just we take the break and then we come back and really get momentum going here. Okay. Or continue momentum, I should say, because I think this is a great topic, Mark.
Great.
So I'm Eric Sauver, as I mentioned, host of Employment Law Today, here tonight with my guest, Mark Oirio, and we are discussing COVID's company culture shock, as well as how to realign your company's culture, employee engagement, and brand. So stick around to Talk Radio NYC, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Mm-hmm. Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney, representing small and mid-sized companies, business owners, and entrepreneurs. And here tonight with my guest, Mark Iorio, a managing partner of BCAT Partners. And just before the break, really some good discussion, good answers, and real response to the question of what are some of the biggest challenges that the pandemic has created for businesses, culture, and brand. So I heard, Mark, you were talking, it sounded like you're talking about maybe the isolation and the distance. This is what I was hearing, creating that either that separation or almost like an identity crisis of either the employees or the company or both, maybe saying, you know, what is our North Star? And not having perhaps some of the trappings of like the office life or a certain routine to, you know, sort of gloss over that question. Maybe it's becoming more present. I'm not sure if that's part of this equation, but is that something you see, people questioning their purpose?
Yeah, you know, Eric, it's really interesting. There's a couple things that are at work here. One is that, you know, people think that culture is really perks. It's not perks. It's about purpose. And perks are, you know, pizza Fridays, taco Tuesdays, foosball tables, ping pong tables, things like that. That's not culture. That's just fun stuff that people do. And it's, you know, it'll bring some people around the table, but not everyone. Yeah. You know, this process has to be 100% inclusive. Everyone's got to participate. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are going to get some self-selection. People are not all going to row in the same direction. They're going to want to self-select out of this. Mm-hmm. That's understandable. That happens, it's fine. You have to move on and they have to go elsewhere where they're, you know, they fit in better. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, you know, the difference between where they were prior to the pandemic and now, their culture was weak to begin with. It's not going to get any better when you're isolated. Mm-hmm. And when you start to look at, again, who we are as an organization. And by the way, I want to make this crystal clear. This is not about a mission statement. It's not about a vision statement. Because 99% of the time, they hang on the wall and they do nothing. I'm talking about measurable, observable, behavioral changes that are specific to who we are as a group of people, right? That everyone can witness. When you go to Disney, you have an experience because they treat you like a king or a queen. When you go to Ritz-Carlton, it's the same thing. But every single morning, they look at their 12, you know, habits or whatever they call those, you know, the 12 commandments, I guess, of Ritz-Carlton. And they adhere to those every single day. They're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. What does that say to you? They treat you well. You have to do that on a regular basis in order for that culture to sync up with your brand promise.
Hmm.
Most organizations don't do that. They meander. It's like Stephen Covey said a long time ago in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, it's a lot like being in the middle of a vast ocean without a ship or without a compass. Without a compass, and you're in this ship and you don't know where to go. If you have a goal, if you have a direction, a North Star, at least you have a way to navigate.
Right. Yeah. You need that North Star. And I hear you saying that culture is more than, I like that saying, it's purpose, not perks. I mean, I think perks can be nice and they can lift people up and certainly help their mood or maybe get them a little bit to connect with one another, boost morale. But ultimately, that's sort of a short-term, temporary, I don't want to say fix, but kind of a fix. It's like a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
It's coffee will give you a boost, right? But what really sustains you in the long run, you know, you can't just live on coffee if you don't have enough rest, if you don't have enough nutrition, exercise, and movement. And I hear purpose sort of as the long-term fuel, it sounds like, for a company. It sounds like purpose is one of the key things. That's that compass, that, if you will, that direction.
Yeah.
You know, seeing, I know a lot of companies are undergoing changes during COVID. So I suppose that, I don't know, I'm wondering, have some of the companies, have the changes that you see, for example, companies that may shift into, let's say, like they were in-person service, now they're delivery, or they may have been an in-person sort of teaching and now it's virtual. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that confuses people in the company about what the purpose is, or maybe not?
Well, sometimes I think what you know, it really, a lot of it matter, a lot of what matters here, Eric, is is those behavioral changes that I talked about. Here's an interesting statistic. Hard to believe, but true.
Okay.
Up to 85%, about 85% of people who have had a near-death experience, whether you know, it's been a diabetic coma, a real serious heart attack, something where they just about passed away and they were on the operating table and they just about died, within 4 to 5 weeks go right back to their old habits. So imagine if you don't have someone there holding you accountable and holding yourself accountable to the things that you need to do to make the changes that you need to make in order for the organization to become a better organization.
Right.
So what these companies have that have gone through this pandemic and thrived have done is made changes. They've been malleable. They have been flexible in order to accommodate people. And it's really about the organization's people. You know, I'm not a big fan of the word human capital. It's people. Yeah. We're human beings, right? Sure. We care about, we're supposed to care about each other. And if we care about each other and we nurture our relationships with one another, we're going to know, like, and trust one another.
Yes.
And when that happens, great things happen. We don't operate in silos. We don't withhold information. We collaborate more effectively. We want to grow as a team together. And I know it sounds cliche-ish, but it's not. It's an effort that takes, you know, a commitment on everyone's part. Everyone at the top of the organization down to the person who mops the floors.
Yeah.
It's the ones that survive are the ones that are that have done that. You know, and the others have struggled.
I mean, I think it's also worth noting that you said, Mark, that companies have thrived during this pandemic, and not just companies like Zoom, that, you know, but also companies that in all fields. And I think, you know, I think you're right in terms of just you have to really look at what they're doing to, you know, encourage employees and, you know, to really look at their purpose, to take certain actions. That's a really powerful statistic you mentioned about, I thought you were going to say 85% of people who had a near-death experience, I thought you would say came out of that and changed within 4 to 5 weeks, you know, there. But I think that really speaks to the power of the habit and how we often stick, right? We stick to and cling to these like old sort of familiar patterns. It's like a cocoon, as the Buddhists say, you know, it's sort of the old familiar comfort, but it's also dank and wet. And it takes a lot to break out of that cocoon.
Right.
Is that Would that be another metaphor? I know you like metaphors, like baseball, and you may gave some good ones at the ship. And I really would does BCAP Partners sort of serve that a role, let's say, of like helping people to break out of those habits through concrete plans of action and accountability? Is that
something? Absolutely. That's a great. That's a yeah. If I can steal that, I'll take it.
Please do. Yeah, feel free.
Absolutely. It's a transformational process. It really is, because you know, oftentimes you're right. You get into those comfort zones where you feel like, gee whiz, you work for your own firm, but when you work for a larger firm, if no one bothered you, Eric, and you went to work every day, you would do the same thing. You'd get your job done. But in most organizations, you know, they're not bringing you out of your comfort zone. You can go into your little silo and you can work. And at the end of the day, you can leave, right? Yeah. Until someone shakes you and says, you know what? You're in this cocoon. We want you to metamorphosize out of this cocoon. Yes. And we want you to help us grow as an organization. That is the key. I mean, that is one of the keys here, but it really is following a mission or this purpose that we help find. And the tough part about this is, look, you hear core values like, oh, we're trustworthy. We have integrity. We're honest. We get the job done. Well, if I said to you, Eric, is that SEAL Team 6 or is that the Girl Scouts? And you'd say, well, yes, the answer is yes. It sounds just like that. So both the SEAL Team 6 and the Girl Scouts have exactly the same core values. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's unique. So if you have these unique qualities, that's what you're going to follow as an organization. And we help you find that.
So you help them find the unique qualities, not just the sort of more vague amorphous terms that people that might sound good on, let's say, a website or on a commercial, you know, about honesty, integrity, reliability. And again, what I hear you saying, Mark, is that not that those aren't valuable assets or goals or values to have, but that really to truly get in touch, I'm hearing, with one's definition of a company's true brand, takes maybe digging a little bit deeper. Like, okay, those are some values we have, but they're very broad and general. You know, as a person, I can describe myself as having two eyes, a nose, and a mouth, and skin, and, you know, teeth, or I can get into more detail. You know, I wear glasses, I have a beard, and then I can get more. And I know it's not a perfect analogy, but the idea being, right, that we need to get a little more detail. It sounds like that's something that you guys help to bring out.
Absolutely. Those other things are, and I know we have to take a break soon, but you know, those qualities are givens. You better have integrity if you're an organization. You better be honest. You better have trustworthiness and getting things done for organization. That does not differentiate you from anyone.
Kind of the minimum, right? It's like sort of the floor, not the ceiling.
Right, exactly.
Right. Well, we have to, as you mentioned, take a break. You're right on the money there. When we come back, we can talk a little bit about looking ahead as we slowly return to normal, or the new normal, as I know everyone hates to hear, but it's kind of a true phrase. So, folks, you're listening to Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law, business law attorney, and my guest tonight, a very interesting gentleman, Mark Iorio, BCAP Partners. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Eric.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
The new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7.
Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. My, the time really flies when you're engaged in interesting conversation, Mark, I have to say. But we've still got some time left and wanted to perhaps take us towards the, I would think maybe perhaps a natural or logically flowing question. Looking ahead, as we slowly return to normal, how can companies repair or improve their company culture and brand? Like, what concrete actions can management take, and what roadblock should they be mindful about?
Well, you know, since 1998, Gallup has been conducting what they call a Q12 study. It's a state of the American worker. So it comes out every year. Mm-hmm. And over the last 23 years, the average engagement number for employees in any organization on average across the country is about 31%. So 31% of people are engaged in their work, right? During the pandemic, there was a blip up. And I think I haven't done the research yet, but we're planning on doing it as to why there was an uptick in that. And then it dropped about a month later below the typical average of 31%. Hmm. Our feeling is that, just anecdotally, Eric, is that employees expected their leadership to take a role in engaging them in a more provocative way. Right. And they didn't. And right, when they did not, it dipped below that 31% mark to down to 28%. Mm-hmm. What organizations ought to be doing is they really ought to be finding out what they stand for, who they are as an organization, treat their people with dignity and respect, and get them included into the decision-making process rather than treating them like a number. And when they do that, you'll see the customer experience and the employee experience become more equal. It's no different. As I said earlier, you know, Ritz-Carlton says, we are ladies and gentlemen who serve ladies and gentlemen. That puts them on equal footing with the customer. And that's the way everyone ought to be treating their customers and their clients and their prospects and their employees. Yes. When they get that message, when they start to understand that and they start to realize that customer care is so important, mm-hmm, and it shouldn't be taken advantage of or trivialized in any way, then I believe that organizations will come out of this in a robust and positive way. Otherwise, mm-hmm, you know, they're just going to sort of, fall by the wayside or, you know, meander in that mediocrity that, you know, they're not going to be able to grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that one line, Mark, really speaks to me about, I'm thinking about this, the Ritz-Carlton slogan essentially that they are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. And what I like about it, I think what you've kind of pointed out and highlighted is that it's elevating the employees with dignity and respect and the customers. And I think what I heard you say and what stuck out for me and maybe for our listeners at home who are running a business is that it's not as if you just focus on improving the employee's engagement experience over here. It's not as if you do that and then on the other side here, another day you focus on customers and client experience. It sounds as if you need to really have a healthy, positive employee experience, engaged, interactive, right? Valuable employees with a purpose in order to have a healthy, valuable customer experience. And that's something that as an employment law attorney, you know, obviously I deal with companies in a little different way than you do, right? They come to me often either to comply with the law or when they're in trouble because of the way that either they treated an employee or the way that an employer perceived that they treated them. You know, often I'll get a client and I'll explain that it's not always about what you're doing. If you have disgruntled employees, even if the reasons, let's say that you clash with them, were different than what they think, if they think that that clash is based on their status, based on their race, gender, national origin, and they have enough, say, even if they have evidence by other people who think that way too, and start a class action suit, it's quite a problem for you. And that shouldn't be the only motivator, of course, but I always try to instill in my clients the importance of positive employee relations minimize risk of employment litigation. And what I hear you saying is sort of that positive employee engagement sort of helps the customer experience, helps the company to be healthy and to grow and to flourish. So I think we're kind of both saying the same things, but wearing different hats. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're on the legal side. We're on the, you know, the human being side, the employee side, the, you know, internal marketing and human resource side. So, you know, that's, it's such a key, it's such a key ingredient to a successful organization, Eric. And I think what's also important to note is that as we go through this process, we actually help employee engagement numbers double in an organization. So what happens there is people really become engaged in their work because they're cared for, because there's a process that people say, okay, gee whiz, you know, we're all sort of heading in the same direction, in the same boat. We're singing from the same sheet of music. And people do care about me. And I feel like I'm part of a bigger organization, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I really think I hear what you're saying. I really think that there's something about that message that if you said to people, they might say, oh, of course, that makes perfect sense. That's something our company strives for. But striving for something as opposed to having a concrete plan, having sort of small but significant actions to take, and then accountability and a way to measure results. And that's what I'm hearing from you. It sounds as if BCAP Partners has its alignment, has a sort of a alignment toolkit, right? A brand culture alignment toolkit. Was that sort of what you used to bring about these changes? You use the BCAT?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that, you know, that's, it's the whole process. We call it a toolkit, but it's really a process end to end. You know, it starts with a survey, and then, you know, everyone gets together and we figure out where everyone landed and then where we're going as an organization. We determine what that gap is. And then we go, that's the coaching opportunity. We partner up with coaches, advisors, consultants, people like you, Eric, who understand what's going on in organizations. And then it's an ongoing process. Behavioral change takes time. It's just like anything else. And you look at whether it's your diet, your fitness, if you're an athlete, anything, it takes an effort. It takes time. It takes discipline. And, you know, as Covey had said a long time ago, a habit takes 90 days to 120 days to form or to break. And that's why we have, you know, that's why we have coaches that are our partners, that are certified BCAT practitioners, that understand how the process works. And the thing that makes us different than everyone else out there, I think, is that, you know, everyone's included. Every person within the organization is part of this process.
Right.
We leave no one out.
Really, you know, the ways that I think that the pandemic has had some positive impact. We always, you know, we talk about how horrible it's been. And don't get me wrong, it's been very horrific for many people who've lost loved ones, family, not to take that away. But there is a silver lining, and I think sometimes it does take adversity for a company or a person or a business owner to look at, to really do some soul searching. And that's what I hear this process sounds like to me.
It is.
You know, I wish we can talk about this for another hour or two, but we have about a couple more minutes. What I want to do is I want to give you 2 minutes, Mark, just to sort of share your contact information. How can our listeners tonight who want to make a change get in touch with you?
Oh, that's great. Eric, this has been terrific. I really appreciate the time and the energy and the effort. And, you know, I am going to show you how to connect here with BCAT. I'll put that up on the screen if everyone can see that. It's Mark Iorio, managing partner, BCAT Partners. You can always reach me at mark.iorio. That's I-O-R-I-O. At getbcat.com. And that number there is my cell, 609-577-4306. The website is the same. It's getbcat.com. So www.getbcat.com. And please connect with me at your leisure. Love to have a conversation with you and talk to you about your culture and the brand.
Sure, sure. Great to have that, Mark. Great to have you on the show and your company. I wish you, you know, continued success. And it's really been a pleasure. Folks, you've just heard another episode of Employment Law Today with myself and Eric Sauber, host of the show and also employment law, business law attorney in my daytime job. So if you like what you heard, you can join us Tuesday nights at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go to facebook.com/talkradioNYC, or you can listen to on the website, which is www.talkradionyc.com. So thank you once again, Mark, for joining us. Again, I'm Eric Sauber, host of the show. Stay tuned for more awesome shows that we'll be following. So just want to wish everyone a good night. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
They asked me about the machine. So even back then, it was a lot.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.